Now, if you have your Bibles, you could open again to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11:1 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hebrews 11:6, the sixth verse of this same chapter said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, you see, if without faith it's impossible to please him, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, you see, has given us his word upon which we can base our faith. That's the reason he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them the good news. Because if they don't hear it, they can't believe it." Isn't that right? Tell them the good news that Jesus has come and has died. And so how do you get faith? How does faith come? We know Romans 10:17 said, So then faith cometh. How? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that Ephesians 2:8 said, "By grace are ye saved." Paul writing to Christians, the church at Ephesus. "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God." The faith that you're saved by is not of yourself. It's not a natural human faith. It's a gift of God. God gave you faith to be saved. How did he give it to you? So we have the expression that faith cometh. We have the expression that faith is given. It's a gift. Now, notice Romans, the 12th chapter. And notice the third verse. "I say to every man that is among you." Now, Paul's writing again to the church, not to sinners. "I say to every man," every person, that means woman too, "every person that's among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So we have the three expressions: faith cometh, faith is given or is a gift, and faith is dealt. Now, how is it given? How does it come? It comes by hearing. How is it dealt? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. So how does faith for salvation come? Well, notice it real quickly. In the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and in the 14th verse, Peter is rehearsing before the apostles and brethren in Jerusalem what had happened in the case of him going into Cornelius' house and preaching to him. You see, the Jews would not have anything to do with the Gentiles, and they brought accusation against Peter. "Thou wentest in," you can read the first few verses of this 11th chapter, "thou wentest in," you see, into men uncircumcised. But you see, God in the 10th chapter had given a vision to Peter and was teaching him not to call common or unclean that which I have cleansed, praise God. And so he said to them, told about his vision, and then he said to them that when he entered into Cornelius' house, Cornelius said that an angel had appeared to him about the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and said that your prayers and that your alms, your giving, has come up as a memorial before God. And he said to him, "Send to Joppa and inquire in the house of Simon a tanner," and he lives by the seashore, seaside, "and inquire for one Simon whose surname is Peter." Now look at that 14th verse. "Who when he is come," Acts 11:14, "who when he is come, when Peter is come, will tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved." You see, men are saved by hearing words. Now, why are they? Because faith comes by hearing words, the word of God. And so, in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning to read with the 5th verse, it said, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now notice that, and preach Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For many unclean spirits came out, crying with a loud voice. Many that were sick of the palsy were healed. A little later down in the chapter it says, and when they believed, and when they believed, and when they believed what? The preaching. Believe the preaching of Peter concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. They were baptized, both men and women. Now notice the 14th verse. Now when the apostles, which abode in Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God. Hallelujah. Now notice those three different expressions. Back up there in that fifth verse, he preached Christ unto them. They received the word of God. They received Christ. Christ is the living word of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
They believed the preaching of Philip. They believed the word. Well, they couldn't believe it without hearing it. Amen. And so faith for salvation comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's exactly what Paul said there in Romans, you know, that 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said in the 13th verse, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the 14th verse he said, how shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? Amen. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? You can't hear, can't believe without hearing. And so, faith for salvation, we know that, and these scriptures corroborate it, comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you know, it seems strange that we don't know that on other things. That once you get saved, things ought to work automatically. But they don't. We've all found that out. You know, I've heard Christian friends say, well, if God wants to heal me, he will. He can do anything he wants to do. But what if the sinner said, if God wants to save me, he will. He can do anything he wants to do. Well, the poor fella would finally die and go to hell and be lost. Because God's already made the plan and already redeemed him and told us to go tell him. Amen. Well, God in his word has already provided healing for us and has told us about it, and his word is up to us to believe it. I've heard Christian people say, well, if God wants to baptize me with the Holy Ghost, well, he will. You know, God's sovereign. He's a sovereign being. He can do anything he wants to. If he wants me to have it, and you know, if there is such a thing, why, well, he'll give it to me, you know. You know, so folks never do get it. Well, the Lord wants to. He'll hear and answer my prayer if he wants to. Did you ever notice those people never get into prayers answered? You know, that somebody else might pray something for them, but they don't. Because, you see, they're in unbelief and not in faith. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I had an unusual experience based on this verse here, this sixth verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh, this is talking about people coming to God. Whether they're Christians that already know God or sinners that are just coming to him to be saved. For he that cometh, that includes everybody, doesn't it? He that cometh. Anyone that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My wife and I were at meetings in January of 1956 in Pomona, California, in the First Four Square Church, where at that time Dr. Guy P. Duffield was pastor. And so Dr. Duffield said to me, we were there for the whole month of January, that is 4 weeks. That practically covered the whole month. 4 weeks of January of 1956. And so one morning after the morning service, because I taught in the morning at 10 o'clock and then the night services, and Dr. Duffield said to me, he said, Brother Hagin, there's a little fellow here that wants to talk to you. Now, you see, I rushed right out of the service because at that time, particular time, Ken and Pat were traveling with us and they were in high school and they were taking their high school course by correspondence from the University of Oklahoma. And it was a very stringent course. I had checked up on others and asked other educators, and they said, well, this is the most stringent one there is, but it's the best one there is. It will, if you graduate by taking it, you're accepted by any institute of learning in the world. That's not so with just every course. And so I had to sign an affidavit, you know, that I would conduct it in a certain way. And so I had those morning services, and then I rushed home from the morning service. We had a large trailer, 43-foot Spartan Imperial Mansion that was built here in Tulsa. You see, it's an old Spartan factory over here. So I rushed home. My wife would have our noon meal. We eat one main meal in the middle of the day. She'd have it on the table the time I got there, around noon. And then the moment that we got through eating, well, we pushed the dishes back. She cleaned up the dishes in the kitchen, and we sat there, or I sat there with the kids, and, you know, for 2 or 3 hours every single day. And then you got to start getting ready for that night service. Well, it's too much. You'd meet yourself coming back. I met a fellow come back one day and said, "Who's that?" "Well, that's me, I'll declare." I mean, you met yourself coming back. You know what I mean by that expression? And so 1 year Curtis. But nonetheless, I've said that to you so you know why that I rushed right out of the morning service. And in the nighttime, after ministering, laying hands on people, the anointing is upon you. Somewhere or another, it settles down in your legs and you can't hardly stand up. And so you get away then from the crowd. And so Dr. Duffield said, "This little fellow wants to talk to you." And he said, I believe you can help it. I wouldn't ask because I know how busy you are. And I know that the noon meal's on the table waiting for you. But I believe you can help him." And he went on to explain that this fella had come to his office before the meeting had ever started. And that he was 72 years of age. And that he was an agnostic. Now, not an infidel or an atheist, an agnostic. You see, the atheist says there is no God. The agnostic said, "Well, there may be a God, but if there is, I don't know it." And so he said, "I talked to him and actually prayed with him and thought I got him saved, but evidently I didn't, and he wants to talk to you." And so I said, "Well, all right, I'll take time with the fellow." And then he went on to explain, 72 years of age, and he's had a serious heart attack. And the heart specialist gives him no chance at all to live. He could just fall dead any minute, you see. And so I took a few moments, and Dr. Duffield went back to get the fellow and bring him up and introduced him to me and went on his way. And the little fellow right at first was very calm, and you know, and he said, "Brother Hagin, maybe you could help me." You know, he said, I'm not an atheist. I don't say that there isn't a God, but I said, if there is one, I don't know it. But he said, and he went on to explain to me again that he's 72, that he'd had this heart attack, that the heart specialist said he could fall dead any minute, nothing could do, he had to die, and gave him just yet the very most, you know, a little while to live. And so he said, if there is a God, and if the Bible is so, and if there is a heaven, you know, I want to go there. And if there is a hell, which I don't believe there is one, but if there is one, I don't want to go there. And if there is a heaven, which I don't believe there is one, I want to go there. And if there is a God, which I don't believe there is one, well, I want to get acquainted with him. And if the Bible is true, and if you can prove to me that there's a God, and if you can prove to me that the Bible's true and the Word of God, then I could be saved. And if there's a heaven, I could go there. And if there's a hell, I could miss it. And if there is a heaven and I don't go there, and if there is a hell and I go there, and you don't prove to me there's a God, then you're to blame for me going to hell." And he just got to ranting and raving. I remembered his heart attack, and I thought, "Dear God, he may have another one right now." Because that little old fellow was jumping up and down and just waving his arms. And just the further he went, the louder he got. And you know, and so I just finally stopped and said, "Wait a minute." And he just kept blabbing, just kept going on. I said, "Shut up." And he just kept going on. I said, "I command you to hush in the name of Jesus." So he stopped and looked at me. I said, "Now, first of all, Jesus did not say, 'Go into all the world and prove to people there's a God.' Jesus did not say, 'Go into all the world and prove to people the Bible so.' Jesus said, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" The good news that Jesus came and died and rose from the dead and ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and eternal life and redemption, the new birth, belongs to every man and every woman in this world. And it belongs to you. Now, I said, "I'm very busy. The pastor told you. And my wife's waiting, and the food's on the table right now. Because I'm prone many times, as you well know, to preach overtime." And they're waiting on me. And dinner's getting cold. And I said, "Besides that, you couldn't be saved anyhow. Because the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh unto God must believe he is. You don't believe he is, so you couldn't come to him anyway. Goodbye." Turn around, walked out a side door. And as I went out that side door of the church, I looked back at this little fellow. He's standing there bewildered, and he shook his fist at me and stuck his tongue out. Yeah, he did. I didn't make that up. He did. He fat did. Shook his fist at me. 72-year-old man. Well, I went my way. I got in my truck. See, I had a Chevrolet, 3-4-ton Chevrolet truck I pulled that trailer with. And so I went home. I'd drive it in the morning time, keep the battery built up. In the night time, we had 98 Oldsmobile family car. We'd go to church at night in that with the family. And so I got home, had the meal, thought more about it. About 2 days later, 2 or 3 days later, Dr. Duffield came back to me and said, "Brother Agin, that little fella is back, and he wants to talk to you." Now, he said, I wouldn't ask you. I'll be honest with you. But I believe he seemed like he's mellowed, and his attitude has changed. And he said, and I said, "All right, I'll do it." So he came, and right at first he did. He seemed like he had humbled down. He's very quiet, and you know. But he got to talking, and it seemed like he got anointed with the wrong spirit. And he just got lit up and got to yelling and hollering, "If I go to hell, you're to blame for it. If there is a hell, I don't believe there's one. And if I miss heaven, if there is one, I don't believe there's one. You're going to be to blame for it. Because you haven't proven to me that there's a Bible, that the Bible's true. And you haven't proven to me that there's a God. Now, if you can prove to me the Bible is the word of God and that there is a God, then I could be saved. And if there is a heaven, I could go there. And if there is a hell, I could miss it." And on he went. And I just stopped him again. Commanded him to shut up in the name of Jesus. Had to. Asked him a time or two nicely to shut up, and he wouldn't do it. So I just commanded him in Jesus' name, "Shut up!" Had to get loud, because he's gotten loud. And he shut up. And I said to him again, I said, "You know, our noon meal, we eat our main meal in the day. My wife's wondering where I am right now, because I've run over again in my preaching. It's past 12 o'clock. And I took up the offering. See, and I ought to be there. She's wondering right now. The meals are getting cold. I don't have time to argue and fuss with you whether there is a God or not. I don't have time to debate with you and argue and fuss about the matter whether the Bible's the word of God or not. God did not tell me to go into all the world and argue and fuss and debate with people whether there is a God or whether there isn't one. He didn't tell me to go into all the world and argue and fuss with people and debate with people whether the Bible is the word of God and whether it's true or not. He just said, go preach the gospel. Just go tell them the good news. And he that believeth," see, there's going to be some of them believing, and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not, there's some of them that's not going to believe, are going to be damned, he said. And then I said to him again, "Besides that, you couldn't be saved anyway." I said, Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh unto God must believe he is." Well, you don't believe God is. You don't believe there is a God. You don't believe God is. So you couldn't come to him anyhow. Goodbye, I'll see you. And I went out that side door, got in my truck, went home. But as I walked down the side of that church to get to my car, my heart went out to that little fella. 72 years old. Severe heart condition. The heart specialist has given up on him. He could fall dead any minute. And if he falls dead any minute, he doesn't know God. He's going to hell. There is a hell. I know that. And so I said, "Dear Lord," with tears I said it, "Dear Lord, the word of God said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. At least I did give him one scripture. I gave him Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Take that verse, dear Lord," I said, "and open his heart. I ask you in Jesus' name that when he sleeps, he'll dream about Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh unto God must believe he is. I ask you that if he wakes up in the nighttime, that Hebrews 11:6 will be standing at the foot of the bed, staring him in the face. I ask you that in the daytime as he walks around, that Hebrews 11:6 will just churn round on the inside of him." Sure enough, a couple of days later, Dr. Duffield came again. Said, "Brother Hagin, that little fellow's back. and he wants to talk to you, and I wouldn't. He said, I'll get to you this time. He's ready. I said, all right. And he came, the fellow came just so humble, just so meek and quiet, and said to him, Brother Hagin, I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to debate. I don't want you to prove anything to me. He said, do you know what? I said, what? He said, you know that verse of scripture you gave me? I can tell you where it's found. Hebrews 11:6. I can tell you what it said. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he said, you know what? I said, what? Why, he said, at night, the last two nights, nearly all night long, I dreamed about that verse. Two or three times, he said, I woke up, and it seemed like that verse of scripture was standing at the foot of the bed, staring me in the face. And the last 2 days, walking around wherever I am, that just seemed to be churning around on the inside of me. And he said, I thought about it. Well, I want to come to God. And the scripture said, he that cometh unto God must believe he is. And so if I want to get to God, I've got to start believing he is. He said, I want you to know, sir, I believe God is. I believe there is a God. I believe God is. Now he said, tell me what to do next. Why, in a few moments' time, we had him born again. Hallelujah. A little later on, I laid hands on him. He's baptized, the Holy Ghost began speaking with other tongues. I laid hands on him and ministered healing to him. We closed the meeting and went our way. The next year, January of 1957, we were back in the same church. Only difference is Dr. Duffield had gone to Vancouver, B.C., Canada, and was pastor of the First Four Square Church there. And we'd been up there and preached for him for 3 weeks. And now then, Brother Johnson was pastor of this church. And so we got there and we stayed in the parsonage with the pastor and his wife, my wife and I. And one of the first things Brother Johnson said to him, said, Brother Hagin. Now, of course, he wasn't there last year, but he knows about it now. He said, the little fella and he called his name that got saved last year. You know him? I said, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, he said he had a severe heart condition. He was an agnostic. Oh, I said, yeah, I remember. Well, he said he got saved here and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he got healed. He went back to the same heart specialist, and he couldn't find a thing wrong with his heart. In fact, he said, you've got a brand new heart. He said, that doctor told him, said, I'll tell you one thing, somebody up there likes you. Well, he said, right on the same street, just two blocks down the street was Assembly of God Church. Said he went down there and joined Assembly of God Church. Didn't bother the Four Square pastor at all. You know, we oughtn't to be so concerned where folks go, as long as we can get them in the kingdom. I said, we ought to be out for the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But he said, he goes down there to church. And he said, but he called me and told me about his testimony. And he wants to see you. I said, fine. And so we saw him and fellowship with him. And he's still on fire for God and in health. Hallelujah. Well, you see, that was an unusual experience, but it's absolutely the truth. You can argue all day long with him whether there's a God or not. Never prove to him there's a God. You could argue with him all day long and debated with him whether the Bible is the Word of God or it isn't the Word of God. It's true or it's not true. But I'll tell you the truth about the matter. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I just said, Lord, take that verse. I didn't give him any more, but that verse is enough. Glory to God. Take that verse and open his heart. How did he get faith to be saved? I mean, an agnostic, not even sure there is a God. Don't know when I believe it. Well, it was the Word that did it. And the Holy Ghost took that Word. In fact, the Word of God is already anointed. Amen. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 said, the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, alive. That's what it means, quick, alive. Amen. Sometimes, you know, somebody said, well, I cut my fingernail, you know, down to the quick, you know. Well, as you're cutting your nail, you got down there, you know, where there's alive, where you felt it, you see. And so that's what it means, quick. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of spirit and soul. And that one little verse I gave him got down there, blessed God, and divided asunder his spirit and soul. Over in his soul was his intellect arguing and a fussing, but it divided his spirit from his soul, and his spirit, blessed God, came to know God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, then, how does faith come? to be filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Same way it comes to be saved by hearing what the Word of God has to say on the subject. You know, in my own individual case, I was saved, and you know, the thought never occurred to me to doubt when it comes to salvation. Now, why? Well, I'd heard it preached all my life. I've gone to Sunday school and church all my life. I cannot remember the first time I ever went to church. I have no recollection in my lifetime of not going to church. I can't remember the first time I went to church. I just brought up in church. I can't remember the first time I prayed. I prayed all my life. Now, that don't make you a Christian because you went to church and because you prayed. Because I prayed, and I prayed every night. I said my prayers and even read the Bible. But on the bed of sickness at 15 years of age, I come to find out I'd never been born again. I got born again. But when I did call upon the Lord, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thought never occurred to me, he might not hear you. Now why? I had heard all my life the scriptures on the subject. And I believed them. And so the thought, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to relate to people that have so much doubt about salvation. And then after you got saved, the thought has never occurred to me in 51 years. I was born again this past April the 22nd, 51 years ago. Hallelujah, in the south bedroom, 405 North Cottage Street, Saturday night, 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. And from that day to this, in 51 years, the thought never occurred to me, you might not be saved. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not saved. The thought never occurred to me, if Jesus was to come, you might not make the rapture. That thought never occurred to me. Never occurred to me. Well, if the devil bothers so many people, why don't he bother you? He knows I know the Word. And just, you know, the devil gets tired. You know, the Bible calls the Word the sword of the Spirit. And I've taken that sword, you know, and put him on the run so much till he won't come around. He gets tired of that. Amen. And if you knew the Word, you wouldn't be bothered either with that. Are you listening to me? You would put him on the run with the Word. Amen. Because the Word is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, you know, when it comes to salvation, I'd heard that preached, a new birth, so I'm born again. Child of God. Then I was healed. And I'll get into that in a moment, about how faith comes for healing. And I didn't know anybody in all the world, you know, personally, that believed in healing except me. I really thought I'd found something in the Bible didn't anybody else know anything about. There's nobody preaching healing on the radio. I didn't hear anybody. I was listening to radio, didn't have any TV. The churches I went to, there wasn't any full gospel, and if it said full gospel, it wouldn't mean a thing in the world to me. Church in our town. But thank God I was healed, and I witnessed to folks that I was healed. But then, the year after I was raised up from the bed of sickness, somebody came to our town, put up a tent, started a meeting, called it Full Gospel. Didn't mean a thing in the world to me. I didn't go to the services. I went back to high school, was finishing my school, and then working in the church. I had something going almost every night. I worked with the youth. I taught Sunday school. I did anything, anywhere the door, anybody. I mean, if I attended some church, didn't make me. In fact, I was teaching Sunday school in the church I didn't even belong to. I belonged to First Baptist Church, and I was teaching Sunday school in East McKinney Christian Church. And they wanted me to pastor it at 18 years of age. And I spoke, you know, to the youth, Christian Endeavors, a youth movement among the disciples of Christ, you see. And wherever the door opened, somebody would see me on the street, said, Kenneth, we so-and-so was supposed to speak to our youth group this week, our young people in our church, and we don't, you know, something emergency had arisen, they can't make it. You know anybody we could get? I said, I sure do. Said, who? I said, me. Praise the Lord. Just volunteered. I'd go visit a church. I'm not a member there. And the pastor said, I remember one pastor, he said they wanted to do some work on the church, you see, carpenter work. And how many would volunteer? I was the first one volunteered. Glory to God. What, said it wasn't your church? What? Oh, yes, they're in the family of God. If they're born again, they're in the family of God. Amen. Amen. If I attended somebody's church and they were looking for folks to help mow the yard, to sweep the floor, I'm the first one volunteered. See, if you'll do that, God will use you somewhere else. But if you're going to wait, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm going to wait. You know, God opens up something big. You'll be sitting around 100 years now if you live that long. And if God did open something big, you couldn't do it anyhow. Because it takes big folks to be big, do big things. And big folks will do little things. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when I heard these full gospel people, though, believed in and preached divine healing, man, I just dropped everything. In fact, I canceled out something. I canceled this church work I had that night. It could be canceled. I canceled it and went. Man, when I found out they believed in divine healing, because I'd been standing by myself alone as a teenager, I just welcomed with open arms. And we were just having a high heel of time of fellowship. And during the revival, there's 465 people saved. And the man preached healing, laid hands on folks, anointed them with oil. And they started the church. They built a tabernacle out of that. And these 465 members. And every chance I'd get, I'd go to their services. And it wasn't too long till the pastor that came, he started preaching about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Boy, I sure turned him off when I heard that. Because being good Baptist, I knew when you was born again, you have the Holy Ghost, and that's it, period. Well, that's partly true and partly untrue. You do have the Holy Ghost. He is in you, witnessing that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. But brother, sister, it's one thing to be born of the Spirit and another thing to be filled with the Spirit. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And so I decided, I said to myself, I'll put up with a little fanaticism to have a little fellowship around faith and healing. I believe in the Holy Ghost, all right, but I do not believe in that tongues business. And so I was planning on entering Baptist seminary in the fall. And I was walking down the street in my hometown. Now, I didn't listen to what those folks said. When they got off on that, I shut my ears, like you do when the announcements are made. But I was walking down the street in my hometown on the 8th day of April, 1937. The 8th day of April, 1937 was on a Thursday. See, if anybody ever asks you, you know now. You can tell them about it. And I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, who's right about this? And I told him what the Baptist said. And then I told him about some Baptists that said there is an experience subsequent to salvation called a baptism in the Holy Ghost, but you don't speak with tongue. And then I told him what the Pentecostals said. Well, you see, I have the Holy Ghost in me. And John the Apostle, in his first epistle, not gospel, but epistle, in the second chapter, made this statement calling the Holy Ghost, the anointing abideth in you, and he teacheth you all things. So when I said that to the Lord, then the anointing, the Holy Ghost in me said, he knew I knew, because I, at this time I could quote 3/4 of the New Testament. He said, what does Acts 2:39 say? I said, well, it said the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Quoted it to him, see? He knew I knew, so he didn't ask me. And on the inside of me, that inward voice said, what promise is that? Well, I was thinking about the whole of the 38th verse said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so I said, well, you know, that 38th verse said, you know, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I believe in the Holy Ghost, but I don't believe in this tongues business. That's what I said to the Lord. And on the inside of me, he said, what does Acts 2:4 say? I knew what Acts 2:4 said. Just hadn't read it up. I glibly quoted it. I said, well, it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And just, I said, I see it. You see, the entrance of his words giveth light. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. No effort is required on the part of the will or the intellect of man to get faith. As soon as the light comes, faith's there. I said, I see it. Now, we preach the same new birth, born of the Spirit, and I've been born of the Spirit. We preach the same Lord's Supper, partake of the Lord's Supper. We preach the same water baptism. Then if we're going to have the same filling of the Holy Ghost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, we ought to have the same evidence they had. I see that. No man taught me. I learned it from God's Word. Why didn't I receive before? Don't you misunderstand me at all. There are always exceptions to cases and to rules, you understand. There have been some people that were just so hungry. I know a Baptist pastor there in Fort Worth. Didn't know a thing. I heard his testimony. Didn't know a thing about the Baptist of speaking another tongue. But he said he's just so hungry. He'd been through a church building program. Built a new, beautiful new edifice. That is sanctuary. And you know, through all the work and all, he had let up on some of his prayer life. So he's spending extra time praying, waiting on God with his Bible. And one Saturday night, he said, I went down to the church. I was walking up and down the aisles of the sanctuary. And just weeping, said, dear God, we've spent all this money. We've got this beautiful new sanctuary. We've got hundreds of people. But I'm so hungry. They must be more. Seem like I don't have what it takes to get the job done from a spiritual standpoint. Whatever it is, I want it. And he said, before I knew what I was doing, walking down the aisles of weeping, I was praying in other tongues, speaking in this strange language. And I remember that the Assembly of God pastor in town had one time witnessed to me and went fishing with him. And he had witnessed about that. So I went back to the office. And I didn't know his number, so I looked at him talking in tongues all the time. Looked up in the phone book, you know, and dialed the number. And got a hold of my voice. And I thought, well, he might be in his study because he got a preacher. Sure enough, he was in the church study. And he said, you know, he answered the phone. And I said, is this? And so I stopped talking in tongue long enough to say, is this Reverend so? Yeah, he said. I said, well, this is so-and-so, you know, Baptist pastor. And I've got something I don't know. Oh, he said, that's it. You got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now, you see, he didn't necessarily know about it, but he wasn't opposed to it. He is hungry, seeking God. So there are exceptions. But it didn't fall on me, though I was hungry and seeking God. When I saw what it said, I said, well, I'm going down to the full gospel pastor's house right now and receive this experience. And I just went down there and knocked on the door. Now, they're in a revival there at the full gospel tabernacle. I've been going every night, you know, when I wasn't busy with something on church. And so I made practically every night. And I said, I came down here to get the Holy Ghost. They understood what I meant. This baptism of the Holy Ghost, this infilling of the Holy Ghost, this endowment of power from on high. Well, the pastor said, wait and seek for it tonight in the service. It's all looked at what? It's already 6 p.m. We're going to begin service at 7:45. Well, I said, it won't take me very long to receive. I noticed the evangelist nudged the pastor. He said, I was ready. I was in faith, you see. And so he said, well, come on in then. So I went in and knelt down by a large chair in the living room. Now, if they ever tried to instruct me, I don't know it, because I just closed my ears. I don't know. I started practicing that as a teenager. A lot of folks have difficulty, but you see, when after my wife and I were married, we pastored small churches. I didn't have a study in the church. We had a one-room church. We didn't have any Sunday school rooms. And so my desk sat over in the corner of the living room and sometimes the bedroom. And my books are there. And so I sat there and studied many times, just all night long. But a lot of times I'm sitting there studying. People come in, I'm paying attention. Just go on studying. And a lot of times, you know, the kids came along. They're playing. Radios are going. I don't care what it is. Don't bother me. I couldn't tell you. Because I don't pay attention to it. I learned. I started practicing as a teenager. Just shut things out. Just shut it off. And I'll tell you what, I could sit down and study the Bible, and somebody in the next room having a fight, somebody in the other room playing the piano, somebody in the other room rock and roll, and just shut it all off. Somebody asked what happened, I'd say, well, I don't know, I'm in the Word here. I tell you, a lot of these nervous folks need to learn to practice the Word of God. And you can do that. You may have more difficulty as you're older, but if you start young doing that, you can do that. Are you listening to me? So if they tried to instruct me, I don't know, because I just closed my ears and I just knelt down by that large chair. Now, see, he had already looked at his watch just a few moments before, and it's 6 o'clock. And so I just simply said to the Lord as I knelt there out loud, closed my eyes, said, Lord, I came down here to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, this endowment of power from on high. I was born of the Spirit on the 8th day of August, or on the 22nd day of April 1933. And then I was healed by the Spirit, the power of God, on the 8th day of August, I said to him, in 1934. And I received the new birth by faith, and I received healing by faith. Now, I said, I receive this experience of the Holy Ghost by faith. See, I knew it had to be by faith. And now then I say with my mouth, I've never been told to say it, never read where anybody said it. I just knew it from the Bible. I say with my mouth, I am now filled with the Holy Ghost. And now I expect to speak with other tongues. Because it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the other tongues. So now I expect to speak the other tongue. See, you got to get filled first. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You stop reading right there, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke the other tongue. See, you don't speak with other tongues and then are filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled first. Did you get it? And so I said, nobody told me to do it, but I said, hallelujah, and lifted my hands. Nobody told me to do it, but I had an urge on the inside. You lift your hand, that means I surrender. Praise God. And to me, it was a dry, me saying hallelujah was dry, you know, never felt thing. I said hallelujah about 8 times. And then about that time, it was just like somebody built a fire right in here, a bonfire. Right here. Now, everybody's going to have your own individual experience. Everybody should speak with tongue, but it may be different with some folk. To me, right in here, it just felt like there's a burning, just like somebody built a fire. And it just blazed up, and I could see these words springing up, see, coming up inside me. And it seemed like I'd know what they sounded like they were spoken. I just started speaking them out. And I looked at my watch, and 8 minutes past 6 p.m. And they went on and got ready, and I just stayed there on my knees and spoke with other tongues till 7:45. Glory to God. Sang 3 songs in other tongues. Got up and walked down the street speaking in tongues. No, not out loud. Not an idiot, you know. But speaking to myself in other tongues as I walked down the street to church. Now, how did I get faith to be filled with the Spirit? Why wasn't I filled with the Spirit the year before? I was just as much saved the year before as it was that year. I was already preaching. I was already pastor of a church out in the country. Why didn't I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I didn't expect to and I didn't believe to. Why didn't I? How did I get faith? The Word. I could tell you again and again experiences like this, but let me tell you an experience. I was preaching in South Texas church and I laid hands on folks to be healed and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I sat in a chair on the platform, and so I got to this certain lady, and I said to her, what did you come for? See, I'd ask them what they came for, because you instruct people a little different if they came for healing or if they came for the Holy Ghost. So she said, well, I came to receive that Holy Ghost business. And I said, well, are you saved? Well, are you born again? She said, well, I'm a member, and she mentioned such and such a Baptist church. Well, of course, I used to be Baptist, you see. So I said, you understand, you could be a member here of this full gospel church where I'm preaching. That wouldn't make you saved or born again. Do you know you've been born again? Do you know you're a child of God? She said, Brother Hagin, I know I'm a child of God. I know I have been born again. Fine, I said. I'll accept your testimony. Don't let the devil cheat you out of it. Now, you see, because I know of her background, because I was there, I said, do you believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues? Well, now she said, to be perfectly honest with you. And I said, well, don't just be perfectly honest. Just be brutally frank about it. That's the way we Texans are, you know. Just be brutally frank about it. Well, she said, yes and no. I said, what do you mean? Yes or no, I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking another tongue. Well, she said, I'll tell you. My neighbor lives right next door to me. Both of our families are members of this same Baptist church. Our husbands work in the oil refinery. There's just enough room to drive an automobile down, you know, between our, they sat real close together. And she said, night before last, she was in the service here. and you laid hands on her, and she received this experience and spoke with other tongues. Now, I didn't know that. But she said, like I said, there's just enough room to drive a car, just a driveway down between our two houses. And I heard her over there praying. Well, I'd heard her pray before. Windows are up, you see. And I heard her praying. I'd heard her pray before. But said she began to pray in this strange language. And when she did, said it just seemed to me like that there's something, you know, just come out of her room and across the driveway and over into my room. I could feel it. And it was good. And I just ran out the back door and ran in there, you know, and there she is on her knees praying in this strange language. And when I went in, she heard it, and, you know, opened the door and stopped. And she said, I said, what in the world are you doing? Well, she said, I'm praying. Yeah, but what are you saying? I said, I don't know. You don't know, no. But said, it's sure good. Well, where'd you get it? Well, she said, there's a fellow used to be a Baptist preacher that's preaching down there at the Full Gospel Church. And I went down there last night, and he laid hands on me, and the Holy Ghost came on me, and I spake with other tongues. And so she said, now, when I said, yes, I believe in it, yes and no. Yes, I believe that there is such an experience, and I believe she received it. But no, I don't know whether it's for me or not. Well, you can see she's unbelief to a certain extent, isn't she? I don't know whether it's for me or not. I said, how are you going to find out? Well, she said, I thought you'd lay hands on me. And if it's God's will, he'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. And if not, he wouldn't. I said, no, I can't lay hands on you because you wouldn't receive. You'd go off and say it's not the will of God. Well, she said, what am I going to do then? Well, I said, let's just find out what the Word of God said. I'm sitting in a chair there. I reached up on the pulpit and got my Bible. And I opened it to the same scriptures the Lord had given me. Acts 2:38 and 39, had them to read them out loud. Then Acts 2:4. Now anybody could see, they could hear what she said because over the microphone in the church they could hear, you see, because I had the microphone right there. And she'd said, well, yeah, I believe she received, believed it's for her, but don't know whether it's for me or not. You can see she's in unbelief. You see, she doesn't have faith to receive. She read those verses, closed her Bible, handed it back to me and said, yeah, it's for me. Just lay your hand on me. I'll be healed. I'll be filled right now. I just reached my hand out and barely brushed her forehead and said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. She lifted both hands, started speaking instantly. I've had that to happen thousands of times. Not one meeting through the years. Instantly. Now, what was the difference? You see, well, the entrance of his words giveth light. Faith comes by hearing. The moment she knew what the word says. You see, the moment the light's there, faith is there. It's automatically there. Can you see that? All right, how do you receive faith for healing? Same way. What does the Word of God say on the subject? What does the Word of God say on the subject? How do you receive faith for healing? Well, I know when I was born again, that 22nd day of April, 1933, I was hilariously happy. The doctor said I had to die. It didn't make me a bit of difference in the world if I did die, if I didn't die. I'm ready. Glory to God. Just soon to gone on from the natural standpoint, the spiritual standpoint. Didn't know that there's possibility of you even being healed. Believe what the doctor said. And they only knew, you know, what they knew from the medical standpoint, the natural standpoint. They couldn't do me any good, so I've got to die. And every night when the lights are all out in the house, and everybody's left alone in, you know, and I'm left alone in bed and with my own thoughts. I would say, there to begin with, I would say, and for many days, I would say, well, I probably won't be here, you know, when morning comes. The doctor had said to me, you could just die any moment. You may be dead 10 minutes from now. The doctor said to me, in those days, 1933, we had no air conditioning, you know, windows are open. He pointed back to the window of the house. See, a car would go by. We didn't have all the traffic in 33 we got now. He said, somebody might be sitting by your bedside here. And a car drives by and they turn to look out the window, you see, and look back and you'd be gone without a sound. Dead. And so I said to myself, night after night, well, they'll probably find me dead in bed in the morning. Somebody said, that's not faith. Certainly not. Not faith for healing, because I don't know about that. Well, I don't believe in it. Never heard a thing on it. Don't know a thing about it. Got faith for salvation, faith for heaven. Glory to God. Amen. And so, I would say to myself, you know, and I'd never heard anybody praise God. Never heard anybody praise God. I'd never in my life heard anybody say, praise the Lord. I'd never in my lifetime ever heard anybody say, glory to God. I'd never in my lifetime ever heard anybody say, thank you, Jesus. Never. I'd had somebody pray in church, Deacon Jones, or somebody, and they'd pray and say, amen. That's all you'd ever heard. But some way or another, I said, I don't know why I said, must have said it out of my spirit. I'm going to praise myself to sleep. Glory to God. And I'd never heard anybody do it, but I'd start saying very, you know, just quietly to myself, praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't go to hell. Hallelujah. They'll probably find me dead in bed in the morning, but I'm going to put a smile on my face. And when they see me, they see me smiling, they'll know I died happy. Woo, that's the only way to die. I said, that's the only way to die. Glory to God. And I'll tell you the truth about it. I wouldn't praise God very long till I just fall off to sleep. That's the best way in the world. I do that yet. Best way in the world. People are always taking everything in the world. Some of them to go to sleep. Some of them to wake up. Some of them to get up. And some of them to get down. And some, you know, downers they call them. Uppers or whatever. I don't know anything about anything like that. I haven't even much as had an aspirin in 50 years. Amen. I think, you know, if folks need things, well, fine. That's all right. You're not against that. Not condemning anybody. But I tell you, just so much better. It's just so much better. I said, it's just so much better. Amen. Glory to God. And so, I'd praise myself to sleep. But then I got into the Bible. You see, something kept telling me, that Holy Ghost in me, that teacher, that anointing that teacheth you, kept telling me, I don't mean in words, I mean an inward intuition telling me you could be healed. My mind would say, oh, no, no. Now, Dr. Mathis said this. Dr. Wysong said this. Dr. Urban said this. Dr. Wolford said this. Dr. Robertson, that's the last doctor on the case, said this. No, my head would take over. And then I'd get back in the Word and in here. Something would say, an inward intuition. Not just exactly words, but you don't have to die at this early age. Yeah, you could be healed. I ain't paying attention to it for a long time. I'd bypass it, get back over in the mental realm. But one day then, when that something, that inward intuition, that anointing teacheth you, the anointing teacheth, he said. Amen? I ask him, you know, and the Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are perfect gentlemen. You know, if you don't ask them, they just won't talk. They won't interrupt you. You don't have to bother about that. So, I mean, I'd gone along there for weeks and days. I finally said, well, if I could be healed, if that's possible, how is it possible? Something inside me said, it's all in the Word. It's all in that book called the Bible. Man, I got in that book. If it's in there, I'm going to find it. The Holy Ghost will always lead you in line with the Word. Are you listening to me? And He'll lead you back to the Word. So easy to get to go and to follow the Holy Ghost and leave the Word. And I've run into these folks, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. Oh, we're following the Holy Ghost. You can't follow the Holy Ghost without following this book. I've even had preachers who say, oh, I'm way out beyond that thing, pointing to the Bible. The Holy Ghost is, I'm following Him. You can't follow the Holy Ghost apart from the Word of God. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Still true today to every creature. Read on down through that chapter and you'll find that they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word. Amen. Now, when I got into the word, I read through Matthew. I got over into Mark eventually, and understand I couldn't read that all. You know, you can read that in a few moments, a few minutes today. I can, you can too. It'll take very long. But you see, I was in such condition that I was only alert early in the morning. Like my grandmother would say, very often, my mother would bathe me about 8:30 in the morning, and I'd seem to be pretty alert till about 10:30, and the rest of the day I'd lie there like I was in a stupor. And in fact, in the summer of 1933, they were 3 times that I was unconscious for 2 weeks. 1 time, 3 weeks. Well, that pretty well takes a summer in, 6 and 3, 9 weeks. And when I came to, I asked Mama, "What time is it?" I thought it had been about 10 minutes. "What time is it?" She gave me the day. Then I can remember, you need to be careful about this, at those times when you were unconscious, they can't get through to you. Now when you're right on the verge of conscious, sometimes they told me that they got down and hollered in my ear. I mean, put their mouth right up against my ear and hollered at the top of their voice. It seems to me that somebody, I mean just from the sound, was standing 2 or 3 blocks away. I could hear the voice and couldn't distinguish the words. But what they would say would register in here on the inside of me. I couldn't hear it with that physical ear, see? I only heard sounds. But I could hear very often. And my spirit talked to God. And I had fellowship with God. And very often, though I could not contact people here in this world through the physical senses, the body is not working right. Your spirit's still conscious. It's never unconscious. Are you listening to me? God's a spirit. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, the Bible said. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a body. And my spirit would pick up what people were saying around the bed. That's reason you need to be careful about unconscious people saying something around. Well, they're not going to make it. Tell them they are going to make it. Hallelujah. Get through to the spirit, you see. So much we need to learn about that we haven't. So you see, it was a difficult thing with me because I could only read to begin with 10 minutes at a time. Can't read again for today. It may be several days before you can ever read again. Take you a long time to get through Matthew. Take you a long time to get over to Mark 11. I got over to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Man, I never will forget it. Read it. Read it one time. Didn't take time to memorize it. I read one time. Never forgotten it. Just branded itself on my spirit like you'd brand a calf with a branding on a ranch in West Texas. Hallelujah. And something seemed to say on the inside of me, "That's it, that's it, right there, that's it, right there. The entrance of his words giveth light." Now, in conclusion, real quickly, turn with me to the 14th chapter of the Acts. 14th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Real quickly. Now notice, this is talking about Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Saul, or Paul. And their first missionary journey. And it's talking about, we'll read the 7th verse, "And there they preached the gospel." Where? In Lystra, Derbe, and so on. And there they preached the gospel. Then it tells us something that happened at Lystra under the preaching of the gospel. Now notice. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent or impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." Now look at the 9th verse. "The same," the crippled man, "heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet,' and he leaped and walked." But now I want you to notice something. He had faith to be healed. Who had faith to be healed? The crippled man did. Now you see, we miss that a lot of times because the text of the Bible is true and inspired. But everything that man wrote there at the top of the page and the bottom of the page and the middle of the page is not so. The very Bible I'm preaching at right at the top of the page said, Paul heals a cripple. But Paul didn't heal that man. Yeah, but Paul was an apostle. That man wasn't healed because Paul was an apostle. He was healed because he had faith. Wasn't he? I said, wasn't he? Now you understand this, that there are gifts of the Spirit, and among the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit are gifts of healings, and there will be supernatural manifestations at times. But the majority of people are not healed that way. Amen. And you sit around and wait on a supernatural manifestation. It may come, it may not come. I can't promise you that. One thing I can promise you, though, the Word of God always works. How can you get faith for healing? How did this man get faith for healing? God just sort of fly over the top of him like a bird and drop faith down in his heart? No. The same heard Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. The crippled man heard Paul speak. Who? Paul, steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed. How did he get faith to be healed? We know the Bible said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So he got faith to be healed from what Paul said. What did Paul say? Seventh verse says, and there they, Barnabas and Saul, preached the gospel. That's why folks don't have faith to be healed, because folks, they don't hear the gospel. Oh, somebody said, we preach the gospel. Heard a fellow on radio. Somebody wrote in and asked, do you believe in divine healing, praying for the sick? He said, no, we just preach the gospel. Why, he no more preached the gospel than I'm an astronaut. Now, he may have preached part of the gospel. Amen. Now, listen. Could this crippled man have received healing, faith to be healed from a lifelong... He said he's a man. He's grown. An adult. A lifelong crippled condition, lame from his mother's womb. Could he have received faith to be healed by hearing, well, healing's been done away with. That's not for us today. No. Could he have received faith for healing by hearing Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and raised from the dead for our justification? No, he had received faith to be justified and born again. But he got faith to be healed. Now why? Then Paul must of a necessity have not only preached that Jesus bore our sins, but he must have preached also that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And what he bore we need not bear. You can't believe without hearing. Amen. Will the gospel, the same gospel, you see, Is there another gospel? No. Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which has been preached, let him be accursed. Well, if the gospel that Paul preached would cause faith to come into the heart of a lifelong cripple where he could rise up and walk off well, the preaching of the same gospel will produce the same results today. That is, if it's believed. The gospel of the new birth doesn't just work because you preach it. Folks must believe it. Amen. You see, the worst wretch that's walking the streets of Broken Arrow tonight are the worst wretch, the worst sinner that's walking the streets of Tulsa. Salvation, the new birth, remission of sins belongs to them just as much as it does you. Jesus died for them, shed his blood for them as much as he did you. Well, why don't they have it then? Either because somebody hadn't told them, they don't know about it, or else they heard it and rejected it, didn't believe it. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, see, some will not believe. Oh, I'm so glad I believed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This man believed. What did he believe? What he heard preached. What did he hear preached? The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Then healing for the physical body is a part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. So that crippled man got faith for healing the same way I did. And you can get faith for healing the same way we did. Woo, I don't know whether it helped you or not. Preach me happy. Amen. Glory to God, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift our hands and praise Him for the gospel. 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 For the good news. Hallelujah. Faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! Praise God. Amen.